Welcome, everyone, to the Jake Dunlap Show. This is your weekly dose of real success stories from entrepreneurs, athletes, celebrities, CEOs, and the people that you love. If you've ever wondered what makes people tick, what are the weird things that happened to them in their past that helped to shape the people that they've became? Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Eastern, you can tune in and get exactly that. The behind the scenes, not the typical behind the scenes, but the real stories that shaped some of the people that you know, love, and follow. All right. What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of The Jake Dunlap Show. We have a special guest today. Not every day do we bring back, you know, previous guests for kind of cool, new, exciting things, but I was really excited to hear and see what today's guest had been up to over the last year. It's literally been almost exactly a year today since we actually caught up last. So today's guest, super successful entrepreneur, really excited. Today's conversation is going to be around when is it time to do something different from what made you successful to get to where you are. We're going to talk about the rebrand process, naming process from before to after. And I think that this conversation is going to be applicable, one, for any entrepreneur who's thinking about like, do I need to switch it up? Like, do I need to think about this concept of a rebrand? But I also think even if you're not thinking as big as a rebrand, maybe you're trying to reinvent yourself. Maybe you're trying to reinvent what you're known for. But I think talking through today's story will help anybody going through this type of like, I need to make a change process to do that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this. So we were going back and forth, and maybe let's give a little history lesson, you know, maybe talk a little bit about your process here and maybe give a little bit of history lessons to folks in terms of like how you originally iterated on the brand and the name, and talk through a little bit about the decision-making process to say, I think we want to do something different.
Yeah. And I think this is a good segue from what we talked about last time, because last time was my journey through the entrepreneurship and how I started the company and how I started the agency. I think we talked a little bit about that, but how we named it was interesting because so my co-founder and I founded the agency while we were both still in college at San Jose State University. And we had a physics class together. We were learning about inertia, this property that keeps objects in motion. And we thought, hey, that's a really cool concept and inspiration for our company. Not necessarily thinking that it's also the property that stops things from moving, which was apparently pointed out to us several times throughout the years. We borrowed a very 90s trend of putting an E in front of any business name. Like back in the 90s, IBM coined the e-business thing before anything that had to do with the internet. So like, hey, let's misspell inertia with an E to put an E in front of it. And then we were just doing web at that time. So let's put the web in front of inertia. And so a series of terrible, bad business naming decisions. And we launched an agency, Web Inertia. So that's how that name started.
And talk about it, because I mean, like you guys started this. It's not like, you know, you changed the name after 4 years or 3 years. You know, you waited and the brand grew and it was, you know, very successful. You know, the business that you've built, like what was the process, or was it like a singular moment whenever you guys sat down and said, I need to do something or to change it up a little bit?
Yeah, actually the name, I want to say, actually worked great for us early on in our business. It's kind of kitschy, right? Quirky. And it clearly said what we do, which is web. And in the late 90s, digital and web agencies were a novelty, right? It would actually help to have the word web in there. And with it, like you mentioned, I mean, we've grown to about 100 employees globally. We work with Fortune 1010 companies. We've helped hundreds of startups with their digital brand experiences. But, you know, the name wasn't the only part of it. To get to where we are, we've had to evolve, pivot, and change quite a bit throughout the years, right? I think last time we talked about just making that pivot into B2B tech or B2B in general. So we've always been open to making changes and more like data informed and really strategic changes
that are like feel or like, I feel like it's time.
Yeah. I mean, for me, that's a whole other conversation, but like data driven versus data informed are two completely different things, right? Like for us, data is only a part of the equation. There's also intuition. There's experience. There's some things where you feel like you need to go. And that felt like the direction that we had to go, especially through customer feedback and sales feedback in our recent years. We noticed that our brand name is an unnecessary barrier to both winning new business and even growing and cultivating business that we already had with our current customer base, because it created a confusion. We now do a lot more work around digital strategy and brand strategy and setting those foundational elements that all B2B companies, or all companies in general, need to align on before designing a website or web experience or digital brand experience. But it's kind of hard selling that when you're saying we're web inertia, right? So that was one of the reasons. And then just the inherent naming issues, it's hard to spell, hard to. And then lastly, it didn't really position us well with competitively anymore. We were not the same company that we started 20 plus years ago. We not only our solution offerings are different, but we compete with different level of agencies. So competitively, I think growth and competitively, I think all those things kind of came to that perfect storm of now is the right time.
Right. Like you said, I'm sure there's a lot of conversations over the years. You know, for other companies that may feel that way, you know, how did you know the difference between, was there anything that happened where you're like, now's the time? You know, like, was there an event or anything that you remember, like a deal? Or because I think a lot of people listening might be like, I've been the same, you know, I've been running the same business, or maybe I feel like it's evolved, or maybe I've evolved in terms of, you know, my brand and what I want to be known for. I think you mentioned some of those indicators that I think a lot of people could key in on, but was there one or two that you're like, that was actually the one that like put us over the top in doing it?
I don't know if there was one or two, but there was definitely an accumulation of things or comments or, you know, hey, you know, Web Inertia is cool, but they have a strange name, but they do amazing work, right? So, and then it changes a tough thing, especially when you've been around for 20 plus years, right? So even having the buy-in initially with the leadership team for us was a process. So I think we created a very small group that identified that this is one something that we want to explore, not necessarily say this is something we have to do, but let's just explore and bring some data and do some research. And we dove deep into, you know, doing competitive audits and audience research and, you know, revaluing our positioning in the market and HR recruitment strategies, because a lot of the rebrand is not just about gaining customers, it's about your team as well and their sentiments. So we actually had to build a leadership case before we built our employee case, and then the customer case was the last one. So we tried doing it in-house and it was a disaster. I mean, nowadays, finding a name that one fits you strategically, clears all trademarks, it's easy to pronounce, has a URL available. Yeah, it's not easy. So we hired an agency that helped us go through it. We went through hundreds and hundreds of names before we landed on Clear Digital. But one, it was kind of miraculous that it was available, but not only because it was technically available, it hit all the right notes with us as an organization, because we pride ourselves on being authentic and transparent with our clients and our team. And again, it was very important to keep our employees and our team as a part of this equation. And then literally our job is to bring clarity to the process of digital transformation for these organizations that are going through their own changes. So for us, Clear Digital hit all the right notes for us.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, when you land on it, you're like, oh, this is going to be available maybe. You know, but let's talk about the process. You know, we did not a name rebrand, we did aesthetic or visual and logo rebrand back in, I guess it was in late 2020, early 2021. And, you know, the process was a lot of fun. And especially as it starts to come together, but it's interesting. It's like to get to the point that you're at now, just like the, you know, iterations, you know, did you have like, I think this is the other thing is like, some people are like, well, I don't have like a perfect vision of what I want it to be. Like to your point, it's like, I know what I want it to espouse. Like I know what I want it to convey to the market. But I think it's just like, you know, how did you finally get there, you know, to the narrowing down process and then, you know, coordinate to make a really big final decision will impact a lot of people?
Yeah, not easily. I think just going through a rebrand, and I mean, rename takes it to another level, but just going through a rebranding process is a tough thing. So not only just the pure amount of work that you need to do, rebranding assets and videos and sell sheets and contracts and training materials and billing and all of that stuff, but there's an emotional connection to the brand itself as well, right? So I think I read somewhere that we emotionally process change the same way we process loss. So yeah, and grief. So like it can bring a lot of anxiety for employees and our clients. So you have to think about not just the brand experience that you're rebranding, but also the employee experience and the customer experience. So the thing that we did first was we went through it with our employees, and we've been around 20 plus years. So we've had employees that have been there a few months. We've had employees that have been there 15 plus years. So, and when we told them about our plans, we had people on both ends of the spectrum, ones that were sad about the name change and were really attached to the old name. And then we had ones that were absolutely thrilled, like, yes, let's do this. But once we started talking it through with everyone and digging deeper, the name was a part of it, but it was really our culture and our people that made our company special, right? The name was just something that we connected all of it to it. But it was the people, it was our culture that made this company special. So just having those conversations with them and really helped. And to clarify that the culture and our people is not what we're changing. In fact, we're going to use this opportunity to have a name that has a deeper connection between our culture and our brand. I think the employee thing was big for us and a surprising challenge for us, right? So we thought, oh, everyone's going to be on board with like, Webinish just sucks. Like, let's just change it. But there's a ton of people that had an emotional connection to it.
Yeah, I mean, our work becomes part of our identity many times, you know, or at least a small piece of it. Sounds like that was a really important part of getting the team behind it and, you know, making sure that they're along. How much did you bring the team along for the process? So, you know, obviously they're involved heavily in this is what we're going to do up front. Like how important do you think it is to make sure that people are staying up to speed on the frontline people on throughout the process? And this could go for a lot of different projects, but it's specifically something that can be as sacred or as high regard as a name and logo and who we are.
Yeah. So that was interesting too. I was actually reading a lot, the most recent kind of company name change that I was aware of and I was following was SurveyMonkey. And so I was listening to a podcast with someone high level with their brand, and she was saying they kept it to a super small group until they revealed it to the company. We went the completely opposite way. So we, as soon as we had talked our leadership into this is the right process, we shared it with our team and we created a communication plan that had transparency with our employees throughout the entire process. So status updates and research results on all of our monthly stand-ups so they knew exactly what was going on. And we're just trying to keep them highly engaged throughout the process. We did an internal launch of the identity and messaging, but strictly logo and positioning, and then recruited the rest of our team to help with the transformation, right? So that helped give ownership of the new brand to everyone. And then we also created something that I thought was pretty cool, new brand manifesto content and video to try to bridge that gap of our current culture and a new brand and create that emotional bond between them. So then we started using it as part of our introduction to this new brand. So again, the employee portion was a big component of ours.
Cool. I agree. I think we tried to do the same thing as we started to talk people through it, even explaining the inspirations and, you know, kind of like how we landed here. I felt like that with ours, like I think people just got more and more excited as the process went along. And then they're, you know, as they're getting ready for launch and kind of messaging to the world, I'm with you. That's the approach that we took as well. Are there other things like working with and outside on parts of it that you learned that you feel like are critical? Like, are there parts of the process that you're like, hey, anybody going through this, here's a couple other big learnings I had as well too?
For sure. I mean, well, when bringing name stormers, they were amazing to work with. And just kind of thinking like separating themselves and really bringing that external perspective about our brand. The other thing that helped us is we took this opportunity to really think about our positioning in the market as well. I mean, we've done the B2B pivot and kind of knew who we are, but we actually took it another step and really dug deeper. Okay, so we're a B2B tech agency. What makes Clear Digital, a different B2B tech agency. So I think that felt like a really important exercise for us to go through and really tighten up and clarify who we are from a messaging perspective, who we are from a voice of tone perspective, you know, how do we go to market with our messaging and all that. So going through that process was really helpful as well. And there's a ton we learned about just executing the external launch. You know, there's some people that are going to be a lot more excited about this as others compared to others. And you kind of feel like, oh, my customers are going to be blown away. And they're going to be like, wow. The reality is they just want to make sure that the work is still there. Nothing's changing. Or if things are changing, they're very clear on it. So we learned very quickly that we had to take a different approach for those types of folks versus our real customer brand advocates, which we actually use to spread the word. It's almost more important coming from them than it was from us, right? It's our actual customers that are our fans, you know, our advocates, and using them to kind of spread the word. So a lot of trial and error and learning, even though you try to think of as many things as you can throughout this process.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces. I think a lot of people don't realize. And I think the other big piece too, the follow-up question I had from something you said, you guys started to make the B2B pivot before, but this was, you know, I think even more of a stamp. Like, how scary was that process? How scary or like, you know, scary or slash nervous, I would think maybe a little bit around like your full boat now into this new vertical and where you're getting paid and making money and had a name and reputation too. Maybe talk just a little bit, you know, kind of going back about, because then these things kind of like line up together, business focus, rebrand. What was that process like when you guys made the decision to also like make that your focus, which we, you know, we covered a little bit in our last conversation?
Yeah, that was probably one of the smartest things that we did as an organization, is really stop trying to be everything to everyone. It wasn't more about, okay, are we going to drop B2B? That's not really what we wanted to do, but, you know, again, we're 5, 6, 7 years later, there's a ton of B2B specialized agencies out there. So it's, what does it make us special on that? And then again, refocusing on strategy of conversations. And actually, one thing that came out of this is our new positioning, which is we confidently navigate change by building on deep B2B experience and strong collaborative relationships. This confidently navigating change, with change being kind of a scary word like we talked about, but it's 99% of why we get new clients, is there's some kind of a change or transformation within an organization. They've hired a new CMO or new CEO that wants to change the direction of their organization. They've gotten funding and they're mandated to grow or generate leads. They're struggling competitively. They're trying to set themselves up for acquisition, they have a new product launch, there's a big organizational change. And I think what sets us apart is with doing this for so long, we have all the processes, the experience, data, and a collaboration methodology to help you confidently navigate that change. So that is our kind of new positioning. And, you know, we're not going to be the B2B agent that says, yeah, you're B2B, but let's try something different with you, right? We want to make sure that this is a big change. We want to make sure that we're going to be setting you up for success. So it's actually, for us, it wasn't really scary. It was fun for us to kind of dig deeper and pull out some nuggets.
Yeah, maybe that's my own insecurities about limiting the business at times, and maybe some other people's too, where you're like, we focus and we say that this is who we are. Is that going to limit us? I think it's being an ex-VP of sales and operations. Maybe it's, I've got this like, anything's possible and that's a good thing. But I can tell you as a CEO and a business owner as well, where as you focus, like you said, it's funny how revenue grows and things actually get easier. Your team is less stressed too. So there's a lot of positives that go into that. Any final thoughts as we start to kind of wrap up here? I think it's been a really good tactical conversation. Are there any other kind of final thoughts that as people are going through these exercises around changing a core component of who your business is?
Yeah, I mean, having the mechanism to reevaluate yourself, I think it's going to be really important, right? Because your business is really made up of several cogs, I want to say, right? Like, there's your marketing cog, there's your employee recruiting HR cog, there's a training cog, there's actual production, there's billing. I mean, there's all these different things. And what we've learned to do this last few years is actually look and grade each one of those separately. Like, how is each portions of these system of our flywheel, let's say, that keeps us going and turning around, how are they all working? And do they have opportunities to improve? And if they're not working, what is wrong? Is it because we're not being competitive, or competitors are doing a more better job at us in marketing, for example? Or is it in HR, or is it in training us? You know, do we have people that aren't as trained as well? So I think these are all things that really coming up with a process where, as an organization, you have a cadence of looking at each one of these components and making some decisions on whether or not it's time for you to make a shift or a pivot or a change is going to be really important. That for us, you know, the marketing and brand, actually both from a brand experience and employee experience, it was time for us to create something that aligned better with our vision and also set us up for the next 20 years of this company. We've been doing this for 20 more years. I think that was the first question we asked our leadership team is, what about the next 20 years, right? Like, I think challenging yourself to ask those, and it's hard, especially if you're in a small business and, or, you know, you're wearing a million different hats, it's hard to get bogged down into the day-to-days of making that business work, but you really need to make the time to pull yourself away and think about the next 5, 10, 20 years.
Yeah, I think that's a good component. It's very easy to just get in your operating rhythm and then you fall out of that long-term thinking and just a month goes by and 2 months and a quarter and 2 quarters. And it's like, are we making sure that we're still going north and not northwest, or that's the direction that we want to be running in? And so I think that's a great kind of reminder for people to make sure that they've got that time blocked out. You know, I've got some cool things I implemented around every month. I review my bucket list. Every week, I review my 6 month goals and some other things that I've put in place over the last 3 or 4 months that have really helped to keep me focused. Every month, I have a start, stop, continue meeting with myself. What do I need to start doing, stop doing, continue doing? So I think I've tried to build in a lot of those forward looking, both as an individual, but also, you know, with your business, that if on a quarterly basis, you're not reviewing, we call it our 12Q, which is our kind of running 3 years priorities. And so I just encourage everyone to make sure that you and your business are doing those as well. And I think this is a great story. I think a lot of people are going to have a lot of great takeaways from this and really appreciate you kind of walking us through a process, you know, that we spent 30 minutes on it, but I know was days and weeks and months of work. So I think you've distilled it great. Well, look, thanks for joining us. And we'll link, just for everyone, you can go listen to the other episode. We'll link to the new website. Check it out. Make sure to follow Steve as well on social media. And again, thank you, Steve. I really appreciate you joining me again. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week on the Jake Dunlap Show. Thank you, everyone, again, for listening to another episode. If you are listening all the way to the end, I hope you have left a review. I hope that you make sure that you're following or subscribing on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. We'll be back next Thursday. And again, make sure to check out the Monday episodes as well, too. A lot of people are really enjoying these kind of mini episode Mondays. So make sure to tune in, subscribe, and leave a review.